North Ends and Kollel, share given on Sunday, 4th of March 2012, Yud Adar, Toshin Ein Beis, and the share is being given by Gershon Heppner, and we're on Tehillim, chapter Yud Ches, and we're up to Pasuk Kaf Gimel, yeah. Ki Chol Mishpatov Lenegdi, because all his laws are opposite me, V'chukosav, and his laws, lo osir many, I will not remove from me. Yeah, you okay, you got that? So of course we have here a difference between mishpat and chuk. Ki chol mishpat av lenegzi, all his laws are opposite me, and a mishpat is a logical law. Yes, a law that we can understand in human terms, like Pasha's Mishpatim is basically Bava Kama, Bava Mitzim, Bava Basa, laws but not a Machaviru, many of them, financial laws. The Chuk himself and his laws, a different type of law, a Chuk is a law which is typically without a reason, or without a reason that we are aware of, like the laws of Kashrus, like Shatnas, like Kilayim, not mixing not growing different products together, like not eating Chazer, Dinim and Kashrus, Shatnas, and of course the classic Chuk being the Paraduma. These are the halachas we're not given a reason for, and we basically don't really understand any logical reason for them. That's a Chuk. Lo osir many, I will not remove them from me. So Dr. Melech is saying I'm sticking closely to the Torah in all its respects. Let's move on to Pasuk Kaf Dalet as well. We're going to take them both together. For Ehi Samim Imo, I was perfect with him, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, va'eshtamer mi'avoni, and I guarded myself from my sin. So these two pasukim together, I've kept his mishpatim, I've kept his chukim, I've been perfect, and I've guarded myself from all avera. That's the gist of these two pasukim. Right, okay, let's have a look. So let's go back now to Pasuk Kaf Gimel. Ki chol mishpatav lenegdi, all his laws are opposite me, the chukosav, and his unexplained laws, lo osir many, I will not remove from me. So the first thing to note is, let's tell you, here's a small insight into family Heppner. When I was about 15 years old, and my brother Cheskel was about 16 years old, Friday night, Parshas Chukas, remember this clearly, Parshas Chukas, the lights went out on the Shabbos clock, and no, I can't remember what it was. Cheskel and I were mucking around. We were teenagers. We were mucking around late at night. Lights went out, and the conversation that Cheskel and I had turned to the word chukas. Okay, Cheskel and I were both very keen on Dick Duck, and I said to Cheskel, "Why is there a doggish in the kuf of the word chukas?" To which he said, "There isn't." To which I said, there is. Well, of course, it was too dark. We couldn't actually see anything. So we didn't look up the pasuk in the darkness of the night. So we decided to hold a bet, a £5 bet for tzedakah, £5 bet for tzedakah, that the loser gives £5 to the tzedakah of the winner's choice. It was going to come from our master money. We used to do a lot of babysitting, so we had master money building up, ready to give to tzedakah. So we said, the loser should give £5 to the tzedakah of the winner's choice. Yeah. So, of course, the next morning, we looked up with the morning light. Yeah. We looked it up, the pasuk, of course, there's a dogish in the kuf of chukas. And so I won the bet. And £5 went to our class tzedakah. Jack Ordman was our was our teacher. You can in those days of the class, someone went around in Mincha with a school cap and you put a penny in or tuppence in, and if you had a very good day you put fivepence in, and I put a £5 note in. Yeah. And Jack was startled, to say the least. Yeah. And I put it to our class.
Jack was startled.
Yeah, he was amazed. Yeah, he thought it was a mistake. He didn't want to accept it. He said someone's put £5 notes in by mistake. Yeah, very sensible. Anyway, so of course, why is there dogish in the kuf of chukas? Because the root is ches kuf kuf, which means to engrave. Because laws, of course, going back in the mists of time, laws were engraved on stone. Okay, so the root is Ches Kuf Kuf. Now I learned this from Clive Fearstone. The root of Chukas is Ches Kuf Kuf, which is to engrave. One Kuf disappears, leaving, and to replace it, we put a dog ish in the remaining kuf. And that's what we have in our word, in our pasukim. Ki chomish pasuk lenezi, v'chukosov, lo osim, and you can see there's a dog ish in the kuf of v'chukosov. Yeah? Okay.
In the
kuf of v'chukosov, because one kuf from the roots has gone missing. Yeah?
One kuf is missing.
Yeah, so the root is ches kuf kuf. It's quite common in Lashon HaKodesh if you have a root where the second and third letters of the root are identical, that one of those two letters disappears, and the remaining one takes a dogish. Like exactly what we've got here, ches kuf kuf, so letters two and three are the same.
Yeah.
The kuf, one kuf disappears, and the remaining kuf takes the dogish. To replace it.
Kuf, yeah.
Absolutely, to replace the kuf.
How do you recognize it in speaking?
Well, we don't really make a difference in the pronunciation of a kuf with a dogish and a kuf without a dogish. Maybe some dialects of maybe some Sfaradim or some Timonim, they might make a difference between a kuf with a dogish and a kuf without a dogish. They do make a difference. The Temanim make a difference between a gimel with a dogish and a gimel without a dogish. A gimel with a dogish, they pronounce like we pronounce the letter J, J. That's how they say Barepli Hajefen. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, we say Hagofen. Ashkenaz would say Hagofen. They say Hajefen. The Temanim, because that's how they pronounce the gimel with a dogish. Also, a gimel with a dogish, they pronounce J. Yeah, also some in Hagam, I think Timanim as well, a dalad with a dogish, they pronounce like we do a D, duh, echod, like we do a dalad, and a dalad without a dogish, they pronounce like we pronounce a TH. Yeah, which is one of the answers given. I once said this over. No, I didn't say it over. It was printed in one of the shul magazines. That's why there's a problem when you say Shema. The Gemara says you're meant to be Ma'arich on the Dalad of Echod. You're meant to pronounce that Dalad for a long time. But the way we pronounce the Dalad, we press the tongue against the top of the root, against the roof of the mouth. You can't prolong the Dalad. Yeah? So how can you make the dalad? You can't say echod. You can't make that dalad longer than you can, because it's a one-off sound made by pressing your tongue against the roof of your mouth. Echod. So how can you be marich b'dalad? So there are two main answers I've seen. One answer is according to the Temanim, that the Temanim, they pronounce the dalad. Hi, good morning, morning. They pronounce the letter dalad without a dogish, like we pronounce a TH. Yeah. So they can say ahaf. Yeah, so they can make that longer. Yeah, they can pronounce that for longer. And another answer is given in the Aruch, in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, where he. Yeah, that's right. You're really lengthening the commas. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so
they're doing the best they can, I would say that.
Yeah. Okay, that's one way of doing it. But the Shulchan Aruch Harav says that you can't prolong the dalad, so after the dalad you should simply stop for a while and contemplate on Hashem's presence being in all six compass directions. Yeah. But at any rate,
I was told that the Yemenite Jewish people, they did sort of th. They said th.
That's it for the dalad. That's how they say ahath or ahath.
Yes.
Yeah, with a long th sound for the dalad. Yeah.
And chukas should really be chukukukukas.
Because of the dogish and the kuf.
Yes.
It could be. I haven't heard anyone say it like that. I think if I'd start laming like that, the Rav might have something to say to me.
You're not aware.
Yeah. Okay. So where does it say, and then it goes on? Thank you. Yeah, mechukik. So thank you. So you can hear in that word, mechukik, shkach, that's very important. Because in that word, umach, is it umachukik with a vav?
Yes.
Umachukik, you can hear both kufs. Both kufs are there. from the root. And that means a lawgiver. A lawgiver, mechukik, because the laws were engraved. Okay, so the pasuk says, Kaf Gimel, Ki chomish pasav lenegdi, once again, Ki chomish pasav lenegdi, all his laws are opposite me, the chukosav lo osir many, and his...
He's never saying opposite me. Can't they say in front of me? Is it wrong?
No, that's fine. In front of me or opposite me. Yeah, opposite me. In many mufrashim say it's opposite me, and therefore I can see them constantly. Mm. That's the idea. Which comes to the same as in front of me.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So ki chomish pasul lenegdi, all his laws are in front of me or opposite me. Yeah. The chukosav and his unexplained laws, lo osir many, I will not remove from me. Rashi explains on this pasuk. What's the idea? The lashon of Rashi is tamid samtim osam leneged einai. I constantly have them in front of my eyes, which is in front of me. Yeah. I constantly have them in front of me, so I'm constantly contemplating on them.
I thought I heard this gentleman's comment that another reference to a negti could be exek and negton, the meaning there of a wife's relationship to a man, that it's opposite as well as being together and in front. It's a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Neges can also mean against.
Yeah,
I.e. in opposition.
That's what you're saying. Yeah,
sometimes it's
very important. That's what you're saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Ah, I see.
That's
what you're saying. You mean the wife taking an opposing view to the husband?
Well, this is perhaps a view of the relationship between a man and a woman.
Oh, a balance.
But it's opposite and at the same time with.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's actually a togetherness based on difference.
Yes.
Oh. An opposition.
Yeah.
Very true. So she corrects him when he's wrong.
Yeah.
Sometimes the opposite is togetherness. Yeah. Because you're able, you feel close enough to be able to correct the other person.
I once had someone dashen as a chasna. The wife has to be an ezek and egdo. The husband wants to schlof in bed in the mornings, and the wife has to be against him. He's saying, "No, get out of bed and go to shul."
Yeah.
He doesn't want to go to shir in the evening. Yeah, you get out and go to the shir.
That has a different Kabbalistic meaning as well. If you consider the male and female polarity of the trees and the way that both male and female are in opposition as well as being uniting with each other ultimately in the ultimate essence.
Good. Okay. The Targum. Look at the Targum. The Targum on this pasuk. Interesting. Lashon in the Targum. Matul dechol dino, because all his laws geloi lekivli are revealed opposite me or in front of me. And then he adds in one word here, lemer badhon, to do them, to keep them. In other words, Hashem's laws are in front of me, not just to be aware of them, but to actually keep them as well. So he adds in that one word, lemer badhon, to enact them, to actually keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu's laws. The Radak on this pasuk says that the mishpatim are always with me, and I don't forget them, I haven't forgotten them, I'm constantly aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's laws. And then the Lashon in the Radak for the Chukim, the Chukosov, and his unexplained laws, says the Radak, I jotted down the whole Lashon, Shelo Hayisi Mefane Libi Lidvorim Achirim. I never turned my heart to anything else. Elo Bat, Kol Zaman, constantly, Hayisi Nishmar, I've been on my guard, Mikol Ovon, Bechol Kochi. I'm on my guard from all Averis with all my strength. Why? Because Hashem's laws are constantly in my awareness, and I'm constantly aware of them all the time. That's it.
Interesting to contrast to this verse, Mishpat and Chukosav, which are attributes of Hashem's judgment of people. Whereas a Jewish king, according to Malachim, acts through Mishpat and Tzedek. It's not Chukosav, that's from Hashem. A hook is from Hashem.
Yes.
A Jewish king can't give you a hook, but he can give you Tzedek.
Oh.
And that is sort of the human equivalent of a chosen king, like Shlomo or David, Tzedek. But he has the same attribute of Mishpat. He applies judgment.
Yeah. Because a human king...
That's something from the Malbim goes into this in great detail in his commentary. The Mishpat and Tzedek were applied to a Jewish king.
Because a human king can't give a chok,
this particular verse.
Yeah.
It's just a contrast to what's said here.
That's not the Malbim on this pasuk, is it?
No.
Because I looked at the Malbim and I didn't see that, and I thought maybe I misunderstood it. Good. Okay.
The Parliament makes a law. There has to be a reason behind
sure.
it.
Sure. Yeah. Can't. So you never get a human being instructing you not to wear shatnas.
Exactly.
The government brings laws just to raise money.
That's the purpose.
Yeah. The Radak and the Ibn Ezra both point out this idea that the laws of Hashem are constantly in my awareness and I haven't forgotten any of them. I'm constantly aware of them. Now the Malbim comes out on this pasuk with an absolute gem. The Malbim, of course, let's first take the view that the Malbim does not take. If you have a look at the pasuk, it's one of these very clear parallelisms where the first half and the second half of the pasuk really echo each other. Kicho mishpatov lenegdi, all his mishpatim are in front of me. The chukosav and his unexplained laws, his chukim, lo asim any, I won't remove them from me. In other words, I'm constantly aware of his mishpatim, first half, and I'm constantly aware of his chukim, and that's the second half, and both halves of the pasuk parallel each other. It's what some people like to call a parallelism, which is really what that's a simple pshat in the pasuk. The Malbim usually goes against the whole concept of parallelisms in pasukim, and he says no, each half of the pasuk has its own chiddush. It's not just that part two of the pasuk echoes part one. Each half of the pasuk has its own chiddush. Watch what the Malbim says. An amazing idea. The word lenegdi is something is in front of me means it's not part of me. It's not in me. It's in front of me. I'm separate from it. While the second half, lo osir meni, I won't remove it from me, means it's part of me. So now, which halachas are not part of me, and which halachas are part of me? Well, the halachas which are part of me, the halachas which are not part of me, lenegdi, the ones which are in front of me, they're not within me, are the mishpatim, the logical laws. Now, that flies in the face of what you would say is common sense. Common sense means a logical law I can understand, and it's inherently part of me. I can internalize it because it's part of it. I can well understand that.
A mishpat. Because your intellect can debate within yourself, and you can have a change of mind. So a mishpat, but you can't. That's a chokra is set. So that's why. But this first part we're referring to now. Yes, you can change your mind. It's not part of you.
It's true. That is true. But something that I will more easily accept within myself is a mishpat. Put it like this: as a rational human being, I can easily accept that one is not allowed to steal. As a rational human being, I cannot easily accept that I'm not allowed to wear wool and linen together. So, which is more easily acceptable? A mishpat. Says the Malbim, what's going on in our pasuk? Ki chomish pasov lenegdi, his mishpatim are removed from me. In other words, I will accept those mishpatim, not because I accept them in my intellect, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded me to keep them. I'm keeping mishpatim, not because I can identify with a logical law. Oh, it makes sense to me that I'm not allowed to steal. That's not the reason why I keep the mitzvah. Why do I keep the mitzvah? It's lenegdi. It's actually removed from me. It's as though the reason why I'm keeping it is because Hashem has told me to keep it, and no other reason. Not because it's within me logically. While the other half, the chukosav, the chukim, which rationally I find very difficult to accept, those have become part and parcel of me. Lo osir meni, I won't remove them from me. In other words, it's the exact opposite of what you'd expect, both for mishpatim and for chukim. The mishpatim, I would expect, I can easily become part of me. Those they are lenegti. They're in front of me. They're not part of me. And the reason why I keep them is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded me to keep them, and not because I can accept them intellectually. The chukim, those are the ones I do not find easy to rationalize. And yet, those have become part and parcel of me. Lo asim eni, I won't remove them from me because they're in fact internal to me now.
On the other hand, we normally identify mishpat with the judgments of the Bechdin. And we say Choshen Mishpat and so on. So these are not laws that are necessarily outside us. That these are laws that we accept.
Exactly.
Accept the oral law.
Yeah. That's exactly how the Malbim says it. Because we can accept them more easily, because they are rational, because the halachas of nezikin and halachas of geneva and halachas of lending money and all that kind of thing. So, because those halachas are all very rational, you would expect them to be part of me more easily. So the pasuk says, no, that's not the reason I'm keeping them. I'm keeping them because they are lenegdi, because they're in front of me. It's because Hashem has commanded them to me, and that's the reason why I'm keeping
that's
them.
That's why I don't steal. Hashem told me not to steal.
Exactly, yeah, absolutely.
And the chukim, I shall not from within me. The chukim are within me.
The chukim...
Oh, I've internalised them, even though they don't make sense to me.
Precisely. Yeah. I find, rationally, they are difficult to accept, and yet they have become part of me.
Hashem told me.
Exactly. So both halves of the pasuk contain a chiddush. The art scroll on Tehillim brings a pshat from Mahari Yaivetz HaDoresh. I don't know this sefer at all. And he says, that David HaMelech is saying, because I accept all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpatim and all of his Chukim, therefore I also accept that when things go badly for me, I accept that they are directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for that reason, David was never prepared to harm Shaul. Now, Shaul, of course, was after David's life on several occasions. Shaul did his best to try and kill David. And here, David is saying, I accept all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpatim, I accept all of his Chukim, I accept everything he's ever given us, and therefore I also accept that if Shaul is after me, it must be for a good reason, and therefore I'm not prepared to harm Shaul in any way. I have a right to protect myself, but I'm not going to harm Shaul. And on numerous occasions that David had opportunity to harm Shaul, he refused.
Why?
He said, I'm not going to touch the Mashiach Hashem. Shaul is a tzaddik. He's been anointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the melech. I'm not going to touch him.
He
had numerous opportunities. He had at least two opportunities to kill Shaul in turn, and he didn't.
Even when David himself was anointed, Shaul still had the role of being anointed.
Correct. Yes. Although he had actually been removed from his position by Shmuel, that was... That was yesterday's Haftarah. Yeah? Haftarah is yesterday. Haftarah, yesterday. Shabbos Zachar, Pasha Zachar, the Haftarah. Yeah? So he'd been removed. Shaul was no longer considered the king, but I heard many years ago. Hashem said, I removed. Yes. Yeah. The Haftarah, yes. He says, I can't remember now. He said.
Yeah.
He removed Shaul from the place. But, yes, Shmuel did tell him, the Pharaoh, you're no longer king. But, I heard from many years ago from Clive Fistone that Shaul HaMelech could never accept that emotionally. And therefore he viewed...
He made it a sort of an arrogance.
Yeah.
And a pride. he still considered himself to be a king.
Not based on pride. Based on... I don't know about pride.
He
maybe
says, he comes to Shmuel and says, "Come with me to honor me."
Yeah,
he was after the honor. So what's his pride?
I'm not sure. Shaul was an immense tzaddik. Yeah, you mustn't never let that out of your sight. Shaul was an immense tzaddik beyond our imagination. The few averus that he did, he was really dealt with very, very harshly for. And because of that, we are often under the illusion that he was not such a tzaddik, but he was. And I have a sefer at home called Shaul Bechir Hashem, small sefer, which is a collection of Midrashim all about Shaul HaMelech, written by Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, Shlita. And and Saul was a tremendous tzaddik, but he couldn't, even after he'd been removed from his position as king, he couldn't accept that he was no longer king, especially as his life progressed and he suffered from depression. And therefore, and I heard this from Clive Fiston, therefore he viewed David as a Mered B'Malchus, as a traitor, and there's a halacha that a melech is allowed to kill a traitor. Someone is Mered B'Malchus, a melech is allowed to kill him without a Beis Din, without Edim, without Hasra'ah, none of that. A melech has a right to kill him. And in fact, I just saw that last night in the Rambam, because I was just going through some of those halachas.
Had this view, although he may have known that God himself was anointed? Himself.
Yes, he still had that view because emotionally he couldn't accept it. Yeah. He couldn't accept, and he truly viewed David deposed as a Mered B'Malchus.
He couldn't accept he'd been deposed from the
correct
throne.
Correct. He couldn't accept that emotionally, and therefore he still viewed David as a Mered B'Malchus, and therefore al pi halacha he viewed David as being Chayav Misa. Could be his depression took over his mind on these things. Could well be. He was a tzaddik. No question of it. He was a tzaddik. And also, even in the milchama against Amalek, his reasons for not killing the women and for not killing the animals and for keeping Agog alive were all l'shem shemaim. He wanted the behemoths for carbonus. He said, I'll keep the behemoths for carbonus. He said, well, why should I kill the women? The women don't fight. I don't want to go. Why should I kill the women? So it's true that he did not do as instructed, but it was v'shem shemaim. He had good intentions. So for that, he lost his melucha. He was dealt with very, he was punished harshly for the few averis that he did, but he was a tzaddik. Okay. So Hashem deals with the tzaddikim kachut ha'sayra, you know, even down to the hair's breadth of detail. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, still learning. Okay, the Meiri has a very interesting shot here on the word v'chukosav. Now the text of the Meiri is very a little bit unreliable, and the footnotes in the Meiri say that the original manuscripts had lots of mistakes and crossings out and that sort of thing. But the Meiri, it's a bit sketchy. The pshat given by the Meiri is a bit sketchy, and the words are not necessarily in full. The original manuscript that they discovered wasn't clear. Yeah. But the Meiri learns amazing chiddush on the word v'chukosav, his laws. Which laws are we talking about? Says the Meiri, it's the laws of emunah, of believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brings a small shopping list of the things of emunah that we are expected to believe in. And it's these that are referred to by the word v'chukosav. And they are the fact that we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has performed miracles, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives reward and punishment, all these things are referred to by the word v'chukosav. And David HaMelech is saying here, v'chukosav lo asim, many, and my emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not faltered, and I believe in all these things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creation of the world, and in miracles, and in reward and punishment, and these are all matters of emunah which are referred to by the word v'chukosav. That's how the Meiri learns v'chukosav. Rav Shoshan Fal Hirsch has a very beautiful expression on this pasuk. He defines mishpatim, of course it was written originally in German, I'm reading from the English translation, what are mishpatim? They regulate our social relationships. Isn't that nice? Because mishpatim are largely ben adam l'chaveru. Yeah, halachas ben adam l'chaveru. While chukim circumscribe, and I'm quoting again, they circumscribe our individual moral lives. I don't fully understand that, how a chok relates to circumscribe our moral lives. I suppose somehow or another, not wearing shatnas and keeping kashrus, which are all chukim, they somehow give us a more moral existence. And then he writes that David HaMelech is saying, I did not reject them. I didn't reject neither the mishpatim nor the chukim. I did not reject them as spoiling my earthly pleasures. Instead, I kept them as my constant mentors. So I stuck closely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chukim and mishpatim, because they're my constant mentors. Yeah, they're with me all the time. Oh. The Medrash Shulchan Tov, let's come to the Medrash Shulchan Tov on our posuk, says, going back one posuk, to pasuk kaf base, ki shamati dachei Hashem v'lo rashati mielokoi, nice and topical, because the Medrash Shulchan Tov on our earlier pasuk, we did mention it when we learnt the last pasuk, refers to the tribe of Levi who did not serve the Egel. Nice and topical. This week's Cedric Yisisa, the Shevet Levi, didn't serve the Egel. And that's what the previous pasuk says. Kishamati da'achar Hashem, I kept the ways of Hashem, and I didn't become a Rosha. I had no part. The Levim had no part at all in the Egel. And our pasuk is a continuation of that, still talking about the tribe of Levi. Kichol mishpatav lenegdi, all his mishpatim are in front of me or opposite me. V'chukosav lo'osir many, and I didn't remove any of his chukim from in front of me. Says the Medrash Shechatov, referring to the tribe of Levi, because with the tribe of Levi we have a pasuk, it's in Devarim, chapter Lamed Gimel, pasuk Yud, where the pasuk says about the bracha that Moshe gave the tribe of Levi, Yoru Mishpatecha LeYaakov, V'Sarasecha LeYisrael. They teach, it is the Levim, who, and it's really only the Levim who are Zocha to teach, that's how Rashi on the pasuk learns, it's the Levim, and only the Levim, who have the ability to teach Torah to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Yoru Mishpatecha LeYaakov. So this word Mishpatecha relates to our word Kichol Mishpatov LeNegdi. It's a continuation talking about the tribe of Levi. They are the ones not having participated in the Avera of the Egel. Therefore, they have the right to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael.
Shimon as well, yeah, and Yisachar, the tribe of Yisachar were also Talmid Chachamim.
For sure, yeah, we understand that, okay, but here we see that Shevet Levi holds a special place of being the teachers of Klal Yisrael. Here, the majority of us are Levim, from the tribe of Levi, can you imagine that? Yeah? Amazing.
Well,
yeah.
Then himself
was a tremendous family, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We've got two Kohanim, two Levim, and two Yisraelim. We've got here two Kohanim, two Levim, and two Yisraelim. Yeah? So, it's unusual. We've got a majority from the tribe of Levi.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sorry to tell you about this, but you're in the minority here. I hope you don't feel too awkward about that. Okay. Okay. So that's Yeru Mishpatecha LeYaakov. The Yalkut Me'amloi says, oh yes, the Yalkut Me'amloi points out, Kichol Mishpatav LeNegdi, I keep all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpatim. So he says, bear in mind that David, being a Melech, had the royal right to take the law into his own hands. As we see, a king, a Melech, has a right, as we said earlier, a Melech has a right to kill someone who's a traitor, with no Beis Din, no Edim, no Hasra, nothing like that. A Melech has a right to take the law into his own hands. David HaMelech is saying here, Kichol Mishpatav LeNegdi, despite the fact that I'm a Melech, despite the fact that I have the right to take the law into my own hands when I see fit, no, I don't do that. Kichol Mishpatav LeNegdi, I run my laws according to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpatim, and I don't take the law into my own hands even if I have the right to do so. Yeah.
So you say, even though I'm a king and I could do what I like, I'm always aware, I only do what Hashem has told me to do.
The law of the land,
set the boundaries.
More than that, but the law that I enforce is the law of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
And even though I'm king, I don't take matters into my own hands.
Exactly. Last summer, we were in Eretz Yisrael, and near the coastal, we found a shop, and the shop had a sefer there, which my son Yaakov Chaim said, Daddy, you've got to buy this sefer, it's on Tehillim. He's always on the lookout for Sfarim on Tehillim. And it's the sefer from the Ben Ish Chai on Tehillim. It's a sefer called Chaim V'Hashalom from the Ben Ish Chai. Says the Ben Ish Chai, very similar to what we said earlier, namely that Mishpatim are things that we can logically accept and rationalize, while the Chukim are things that we don't find so easy. And the Chukim now explain laws which don't sit with us rationally. And he said the important thing is for a person to be Mekayim the mitzvahs, even if he doesn't understand them, be Mekayim the mitzvahs with a total acceptance of the Chukim as though they were Mishpatim. Like they were Mishpatim. And then that's his general theme there. There's a section where he says that the person should keep the Chukim as though they were the Mishpatim. Why do I keep the Mishpatim? Not because I can rationalize them. I keep the Mishpatim purely and simply because they are Gezeiros from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why I keep the Mishpatim, not because I can understand them. As we said earlier, very similar idea to what the Malbim is saying. I keep the Mishpatim purely and simply because they are commandments from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says to Ben Ish Chai, that then links in with our next Pasuk. Pasuk Kaf Dalet, because I'm keeping the Mishpatim purely and simply because they are commands from Hashem, therefore Va'ehi Samim Imo, that is what makes me perfect with him. Well, we were questioning about the idea of perfection before, and therefore Va'esh Tamer Mi'avoni, I was able to guard myself from Averis. Why? Because I keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpatim not on the basis that they are rational laws, but on the basis that they are commands from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he cites two cases. First is a case from the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, very interesting piece of Gemara, where the Gemara is talking about a person reading text on Shabbos by the light of a candle. And the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If you are alone, then you may not read by the light of a candle. Why? Now, when we say candle, let's get one more thing clear. Our wax candles of today give a very steady flame. We're more talking about the oil lamps of yesteryear, which did not give a steady flame. And it's a din d'rabbanan. Don't read from the light of an oil lamp, especially. I actually don't know what the halacha is today about candles. I think we are machmir, we don't do it. But in the times of the Gemara, don't read by the light of an oil lamp, shemoyate, because you might adjust the flame. Now, the flame might not be so good, the oil might not be burning so well, or it might be burning too much, the flame might be too big, too small, might be sputtering a little bit, and therefore, you might tilt the oil in one direction, or the wick in one direction, which will either burn a bit more oil, which would be the malacha of burning, havara, of burning a fire, or you might be burning a little bit less oil, which is a malacha of mechaber, of kibui, what's that called? Extinguishing a flame. If you burn less fuel, then that is in. If you make the flame burn less fuel, then that is the malacha of mechaber, of reducing the flame, of burning less, of extinguishing to an extent. Says the Gemara, you can't do it. Now, the Gemara that here brings Omer Rava. It's on Shabbos, it's in Gemara Shabbos, Yud Beis Amud Beis. Omer Rava, im Adam Choshev, who, if a person is an Adam Choshev, he's a man of stature, and therefore he never adjusts a flame, even during the week. Why not? Because he's got an Evet, he'll do it for him. So he's an Adam Choshev, he's got a Vodin to do this kind of work for him. Then for him, it's Mutter. He's allowed to read from the light of a flame on Shabbos. Why? Because he won't adjust the flame, because he never adjusts the flame even midweek. Says the Gemara, may say, if you have a Kasha. Lo yikra le'erhaneh. We understand a person shouldn't read from the light of a flame. Why? Shemo yateh, because he might adjust the flame. Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Ani ekra, I can read from the light of a flame. Vluata, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to adjust the flame. There's no chashash. And the understanding is, because he was an Adam Choshev, and therefore he felt he's not at risk of adjusting the flame. He won't be Mechal Shabbos. However, Parmachas, on one occasion, Kora, he was reading by the light of a flame on Shabbos, Uvikesh Lahatos, and he was on the verge of adjusting the flame, and then he suddenly caught himself in time, and he didn't do it. But it was a near miss. Omar, he said, Kamo gedolim divrei chachomim. How wondrous are the words of chachomim, shehoi omim, that they say, lo yikra lo arane, a person shouldn't read by the light of the flame. Reb Nosson Omer, Reb Nosson's got a different version of the same story. He says, Kora, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha did indeed read on Shabbos by the light of the flame, v'hita, and he did adjust the flame on Shabbos, Mechal Shabbos. And then when he realized, the Chosav al Yeh, that's a good kasha, the Chosav al Pinkoso, and Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha wrote in his own notebook, Ani, Yishmael ben Elisha, Karisi, listen to this teshuvah, he said, I read by the light of the flame, V'hetesi ne'er b'Shabbos, and I adjusted the flame on Shabbos, L'chashe yebonei Beis HaMikdash, as and when the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt, Ovi Chatos Shemino, I will bring a high quality carbon Chatos. This was a shogeg, so it's chayav kom chatos. Yeah? So he wrote down, he made a note in his notebook, like in his diary, don't forget I've got to bring a kom chatos. Yeah, interesting. So that's a bit of a kasha, because Rava starts off by telling us that an Adam Choshev is allowed to read by the light of the flame, because there's no risk of his adjusting the flame. And this man, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, was such an Adam Choshev, and he did it. And he almost was Mechal HaShabbos, or he really was Mechal HaShabbos. At any rate, we see that we don't keep to this halacha of Adam Choshev, that an Adam Choshev is allowed to read by the light of the flame. And the Gemara answers, Amrav Abba, Shani Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Hoel, he was different. Why? Because Umesim Atzmal Divrei Torah Kehedyot. Whenever he learnt Torah, he treated himself as an Ovidi. So he may well have been an Adam Choshev, who would not normally be the one to adjust the flame. Maybe he had a servant to do it with him. But when he learned Torah, I guess it seems the spirit of Torah descended upon him, and it made him into a very humble man. And therefore, when learning Torah, he was humble enough to indeed adjust the flame himself. And that's why he almost did, or he actually did, depending on which version of the story you take. So,
if he wouldn't be allowed to adjust the flame for his master. If the master had benefit from it.
Yeah. Also can't, yeah.
What about the Eved gets halal from it?
Yeah,
they're not allowed then.
Depends. The Eved might not have been Jewish, and the Eved might see the need to adjust the flame, and might adjust the flame and have Hanor himself from the flame, which might be alright.
I think I know you need it, and I'll get Hanor too. I'm also reading.
But the Eved, in those days, was a person who was would be Jewish when
he might have had a non-Jewish thing.
They were all non-Jewish. It wasn't a hit in every Ivri, but it was a even every Kanani.
Yeah.
If he got his freedom. Yeah. They were righteous. They traded him as righteous people.
Yeah, they became Gerim with that. But it might not have been an Eved Kanani. He could have just been like a worker, a non-Jewish worker.
If he saw his master needed more light, he couldn't.
He might be allowed to do it if he has Hanor for himself. Like, yeah, if a non-Jew switches on a light for his own benefit. Then that's okay. Rabbi Cooper told me the story. Rabbi Cooper told me that when he was growing up in the East End, there was a light which was off on Shabbos, and it was meant to be on. So his father called in the next door neighbor who wasn't Jewish, come and have a drink. And he took him into that room, and he made sure that the guest, non-Jewish guest, walked into the room first. So he saw the light was off, and the non-Jew switched the light on for his own benefit. Okay? And therefore it's mutter. Okay? And he sat down together, and he gave him a drink, and they had a little schmooze. And on his way out, the non-Jew switched the light off.
That's a rather
fun one. Yeah, Rabbi Cooper told me it happened in his own family with his father. Yeah. Anyway.
So in those days, you couldn't run on Shabbos at night.
No. As long as the flame lasts, yeah. As long as the oil is burning, yeah. Now the Ben Ish-Chai cites this Gemara in his Sefer Chaim V'Ashalom to show that sometimes we don't understand. Something halacha may not be rational to you. Nevertheless, you keep it. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, it wasn't necessarily logical to him. You know, he felt he was trustworthy not to adjust the flame. And he almost became a cropper, or indeed he did become a cropper, depending on which version of the story you take. And therefore, hence the importance of keeping halachas, even if you may well not understand them. He cites another Gemara, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis, which deals with Shlomo HaMelech, where the Gemara says here, for Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, why are the reasons of the Torah not revealed to us? Very few mitzvahs are given to us with logical explanations. Why? Shahari, because after all, two mitzvahs we are given reasons for, and nichshal bohen gadol ha'olam, and the greatest man in the world came a cropper over those two mitzvahs. Which ones? Kasiv. We have a pasuk, and the pasuk's in Pasha Shoftim, and it's in Devarim chapter Yudzayin, pasuk Yudzayin. The pasuk says, "V'lo yabel enoshim." A king is not allowed to have many wives. so that they don't turn his heart. Says the Gemara here, Amar Shlomo, Shlomo HaMelech said, I'm safe. I'm beyond that risk. Ani arbe, I will have many wives, velo osur, and I will make sure my heart does not turn. V'chasiv, and yet the Pasuk does go on to tell us, in Melachim Aleph, chapter Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalud, Melachim Aleph, it's in here. Vayhi le'es ziknas Shlomo, it was when Shlomo became elderly, noshov hitu es levovo, acharei elohim achirim. His wives made his heart turn to other gods. Yeah, so he thought he'd be safe, and it turns out no, he wasn't safe. So the Torah has given us a reason. Shlomo said, "I'll be all right. My heart won't turn," and yet he was not all right. On this pasuk again, I heard from Clive Fistone, who taught me so much dikduk and nach. He points out to me that it's not the pshat that Shlomo Melech became an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He did not become an Ovid Avodah Zarah. His wives did, especially those who were non-Jewish origin. They returned to their erstwhile ways of Avodah Zarah. And in what way was Shlomo's heart turned? He could not control them. And in that sense, he couldn't stop them serving Avodah Zarah. It's amazing. Somebody would have come to the palace of Shlomo HaMelech, would have seen him learning in his Beis HaMedrash, and his wives worshipping Avodah Zarah. It's like a staggering contradiction in terms. Mm-hmm. And yet that was the situation. So, then the Gemara goes on to say,
people say, I'm okay, but they're not. You know.
No, but he lost control of them. So the Pasuk says, V'lo yosu levov, and so the Torah is telling us, if he has too many wives, mm-hmm. it's going to happen. He thought he was safe. Mm-hmm. He thought he was immune. He was not. There's the other pasuk that the Gemara here brings about a pasuk given with a reason which led to disaster is the other pasuk about a king. The chasiv, that's the pasuk in Pasha Shoftim, chapter Yuzayin, pasuk Tes Zayin. The king isn't allowed to have too many kings, because then he'll drive people back to Egypt, which is the equestrian center of the world, and people will buy their horses from Egypt, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us returning to Egypt. So coming back to this Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kafalaf on the base, where the Gemara says that here's this second pasuk where the pasuk gives us a reason and it led to disaster. Pasuk says, Rak lo yabalo, system is not allowed to have many horses, v'lo yoshiv es ha'om mitzraimo, so that he doesn't get the people to go back to Egypt. And again, because the reason is given, Omar Shlomo, Shlomo said, Ani arbe, I will have many horses, v'lo oshiv, and I won't take the people back to Egypt. Uchasiv, yet the Pasuk tells us, it's a Pasuk, it's in Melachim Aleph, chapter Yud, and it's Pasuk in Kaf Ches and Kaf Tes, where Kaf Ches it says, Omotza Hasusim Asher Shlomo, the horses that Shlomo had came out, Mimitz Royim, they were exported from Egypt. He did have horses from Egypt. And then the next Pasuk says, Vata'ale, Vatitzim Erkova Mimitzrayim, the horses, even the horses that would pull Shlomo's own personal chariot, how much they came from Egypt, and it gives us the prices. How much did it cost? B'sheish meos kesef, 600 pieces of silver for sus, and one horse would cost b'chamishim umeo. So each horse was priced at 150 pieces of silver. From where we learn, by the way, that his chariot was pulled by four horses. Four times 150 is 600. So it didn't work. So therefore it didn't work. So based on that, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak tells us that is why, generally speaking, the reasons of the Torah are not given over to us. So this Gemara, these two Gemaras, the Gemara about Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha and the Gemara about about Shlomo HaMelech marrying many wives and having many horses, this Gemara is quoted by the Ben Ish Chai to underscore the importance of keeping halachas, even if they don't sit rationally in your mind, you keep the halachas anyway. So Shlomo HaMelech rationalized, I'm safe, I'm immune, I can marry many women, I can import, I can have many horses, and it didn't work out. And it reminded me of something that my father told us many times, Father told us many times in the name of Reb Mordechai Miller from Gateshead that we understand, we can rationalize certain halachas. Mishpatim, we can rationalize. Don't steal. All the halachas of Baba Gama, Baba Basa, Baba Mesim, Baba Basa, we can rationalize, and all the Ben Azim Lachaviru type halachas, all the financial dealings, the whole idea of Chushim Mishpat, as you said earlier. Chushim Mishpat, we can rationalize. Chukim, we can't. Mishpatim, we can. So Rabbi Miller said, must have said this over to a shir when my father was in yeshiva in the 1950s in Gateshead. So Rabbi Miller said, Rabbi Mordechai Miller said, that the human intellect is limited such that even if you think you can understand Mishpatim, you actually can't understand Mishpatim the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu intends them. Our human intellect, we think we can rationalize Mishpatim. Yes, we can, up to a certain degree. But the ultimate law of Mishpatim goes far further than human intellect. And he illustrated it with a really simple scenario. Simple scenario of a man walking down the street, a man who's clearly a multimillionaire. Right? You see him getting out there, you see him park his, you see him have his Rolls Royce valet parked for him, and he gets out, and he's well dressed, and he clearly has an air of a millionaire, and he is clearly a millionaire. This man is walking down the street, and he drops a 20 penny piece. Okay? Behind this millionaire is a man who's poverty stricken. So poor that he's got no idea where his next meal's coming from. He's at risk of starving to death. And the poor man sees the 20 penny piece drop from the millionaire's pocket. Okay? Human logic dictates as follows. Well, the millionaire didn't know that he dropped 20 pence. He didn't see it drop. But had he seen it drop, he probably wouldn't have bothered to bend down to pick it up, because to him 20 pence means nothing. It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything to him. The poor man, 20 pence means life, means a cup of tea and a sandwich, and he can stay alive for another day. Yeah? So human logic dictates that the poor man who sees the 20 pence drop from the rich man's pocket, human logic says, let the poor man keep it. That's our human intellect. Even though we are aware that there is an issur of Geneva, human intellect... Okay, hang on, human intellect tells us, let the poor man keep the money. Halacha says, if the poor man keeps the money, knowing that it fell from the wealthy man's pocket, he's a gun of deraisa. Yeah? He's got no right to give money.
He's the wealthy man. He's your
20 pence. That's right. He's got a Zahar because he saw it fall. He's not, if you find 20 pence in the street and you didn't see from whom it came, then of course it's Hefka. Yeah? Then it's Hefka. But it's not Hefka. He saw it drop.
From the pocket
of the wealthy man. He's Mechuyav Doraisa to give it back. If he doesn't, he's a Rasha. Yeah? So human intellect, even with Mishpatim, only goes so far. So Rabbi Miller pointed out that really we have no comprehension of the extent even of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpatim. And he says as follows, and this is a beautiful punchline. He says that we have Svarim which give us reasons for mitzvahs. The Sefer HaChinuch, there's a Sefer called Tamei HaMitzvahs. The reasons for the mitzvahs. So he said as follows, he said, Tamei HaMitzvahs means the reasons behind the mitzvahs. But there's another translation as well. Ta'am doesn't just mean a reason, it can also mean a taste. That all we really ever get is a little taste of what a mitzvah is about. We can never have the full appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon, even in a mitzvah that we can rationalize. Why? He says, all we get is a little taste. He said, in Yiddish, he said, we just get a schmeck of a mitzvah. We just have a little taste of what the mitzvah is about. We don't get the full flavor of the mitzvah, because that really belongs to the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, that's a pshat given by Rav Mordechai Miller Zichron, and Racha said it to my father in a shir, and he used to say it over to us. Even the Mishpatim we don't fully understand. You think you can rationalize Mishpatim? Yeah. You can't, because we don't understand. Because in human rationale dictates, let the poor man give the money. The Torah dictates that's Geneva.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. And now, the Sefer Be'er Avraham, which I've got on computer, downloaded thanks to HebrewBooks.org. Be'er Avraham is a Sefer written by the son of the Vilna Gaon, on Tehillim. And he writes, very similar idea, he says that the Mishpatim are opposite me the whole time, and I'm thinking about them, and I can see them, while the Chukim Lo Osir, I will not remove. What am I not going to remove? I'm not removing Ol Malchus Shamayim. I'm not removing my fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yoke of heaven upon me. And that's how he defines the Chukim. The Chukos of Lo Osir Meni is I'm not removing the Ol Malchus Shamayim. I'm constantly aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. So I don't remove that from upon me. Yeah. Just one other, two more small things. Yeah. A couple of small things. Reb Chaim Palagi, a sefer on Tehillim. Yeah, this is a sefer from Reb Chaim Palagi, which I picked up also last summer in Eretz Yisrael, in Meir She'arim, in a tiny shop, which is about the size of a cupboard, full of second-hand svarim. And I think Yaakov Chaim found it. Maybe I found it, I can't remember. Yeah, so he quotes. Yeah, gorgeous, absolutely, a real. It's an experience, yeah, absolutely, yeah. There isn't room for more than a few customers at a time. Yeah, fantastic. So he quotes a pasuk in Koheles, chapter Yud, Pasuk Dalet, where the Pasuk says, "Im ruach ha-moshel ta'alo alecha," if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a ruler to rise up against you, "Mekomecha al tanach," don't leave your post. Don't desert your post. So Rashi explains, what is this all about? It says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a ruler who imposes midas hadin over you, someone who attacks Klal Yisrael, someone who makes life difficult for Klal Yisrael, Mekom Chal Tanach, Midosucha Hatuva Al Tanach. Don't desert keeping mitzvahs. Lomar, lo, to say, Ma Yoel Tzidkosi Li. What good is my tzidkos now? We're being controlled by this evil ruler, you know, a Haman type character, yeah? We're being controlled by a Haman type character. So,
World War sort of thing.
In times of terrible sorrow for Klal Yisrael, don't take the attitude, well, what good are my mitzvahs anyway? No, on the contrary, your mitzvahs will stand in good stead. So he says as follows, he says, that's pshat in our posuk. Ki chol mishpatov lenegdi. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mishpatim go lenegdi, this is taking the pshat against me, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals harshly with me, nevertheless, v'chukos av lo osim meni, I will not remove his chukim from upon me. I'll hold steadfast to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah.
This was unfortunately the situation of the Jews when they were threatened with death. Many of them went to their death. Were there tefillin on?
During the Second World War,
Now, if you read El Choron Wasserman and what he had to go through, and he was actually killed himself in his yeshiva in Baranovich by the Germans, with all his pupils, the ones that he was with.
My great grandfather, Rabbi Shai Nossin Freilich, he arrived in Auschwitz on Ches Tammuz 1944 from the Hungarian Jews taken late in the war. And he arrived in Auschwitz together with his grandson, Kalman Braun, who's now calls himself Kalman Baron, who lives in Eretz Yisrael. And they got off the train, and my great-grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, sent his grandson back on the train. He says, quick, I left my tefillin on the train. Go and get my tefillin. And he got the tefillin off the train, but he was killed that day. We'll compare our posuk with the parallel posuk in Shmuel Beis. You've got a bookmark there. You haven't got the pasuk there. I'll read it to you. The pasuk in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, pasuk Kaf Gimel, ki chol mishpatov lenegdi, all his laws are opposite me, v'chukosav lo osur mimeno, and I will not turn away from his chukim, from his laws. So this is the parallel pasuk in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, pasuk Kaf Gimel. Now there are a few changes there between the two pasukim, and I didn't quite get to the bottom of all the different changes. Kichol mishpatov lenegdi, all his laws are against me. That word mishpatov in Shmuel Beis is written without a yud. In our pasuk, the word mishpatov has a yud. Now the yud makes it plural. Mishpatov means his judgments. While it's a kriyasiv in Shmuel Beis, it's read mishpatov, but it's written as though it says mishpato, which means his judgment in the singular. Okay, so there's one difference. Kichol mishpatov lenegzi, then v'chukosav lo osur. In Shmuel Beis it's lo osur, and which is in the kal. Lo osur means I will not go away. While in Tehillim it's lo osir, which is the same root samach bavreish, but it's in the hifil. And lo osir means to make in the hifil means I will not make something else go away. When English is I won't remove. So that's a slight change there. And in our passage we've got many, I will not remove from me, while there it's got mimeno, which literally means from it. I did not depart, v'chukosav lo osur mimeno, I did not depart from it. That's how it is in Shmuel Beis. So there's a slight difference there. Of course, the word many in our pasuk in Tehillim is defined as the same as mimeni. It's a poetical form of mimeni. Yeah. It's just a shortened form of mimeni. But there, what is interesting in the pasuk in Shmuel Beis is that mimeno is in the singular, from it, while the v'chukosav and its laws, and his laws, is a plural. So why does it say lo osur mimeno, I will not depart from it? Surely it say I will not depart from them. Lo osur mehem, I will not.
It's
got v'chukosav. Here, have a look at v'chukosav. That's it, which is a plural. And his laws, lo osur, I will not turn away mimeno, from it. So why is it in the singular? So the Masudas Dovid there in Shmuel Beis explains that it means I will not turn away even from one of the laws. That's why it's in the singular. Lo asur mimeno, I will not turn away even from any one of the many chukim. Yeah. Why is it changed between Shmuel and Tehillim? Ha ha! Now the Abarbanel goes into. Pardon? The Ravanel. I've got it here. The Ravanel does go into it, and I didn't understand it in full. There was something which he says, I didn't get it. But he does, the Ravanel's whole thesis, if you like, on the chapter in Shmuel Beis, is that the version of Tehillim is an improvement on the version in Shmuel Beis. And he does speak about these changes. I don't think he speaks about the change in the spelling of the word Mishpatov. But he does speak about the change of many in Tehillim and mimeno in Shmuel Beis, and I didn't understand it. But he does deal with it. I think he deals with it. Good. Should we leave it there?
Yeah, thank you.